We've been talking about choices, and today I wanted to swing it around and do something a little bit different. I want to look at choices, because we've got the kids in this morning, I want to look at choices through the eyes of a child, because how many of you know that kids see things differently to we than what we do as adults? Is that right? So I want to look at that briefly this morning. You know, the thing is, we want to make right choices because it not only avoids a lot of pain out there, and you know, some of you felt the consequences of bad choices. Anybody here like that? No, never, no. But not only does it avoid that, but what it does is it keeps us on track with the Lord. It keeps us aligned with His purposes for our life if we make right choices. So we should want to make wise and right choices. Now, you remember there was a verse in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 says this, "I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you today that I've set before you life and death, blessings and cursings." And then in case you can't get it right, he says this, "Now choose life." But so many times as adults, we choose the other one, don't we? We make dumb choices and then we have to bear the consequences of those. So I thought if we could see through the eyes of a child this morning, maybe we'd get a different perspective on what choices we should be making. So I want to look at things through the eyes of a child. Now, oftentimes we as adults, we look down on kids. We do, because they're smaller than us. They're less experienced, they're young. But Jesus said this in Matthew 19. He said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for such as belongs the kingdom of heaven." Now, why would Jesus, who spent all his time, you know, much time teaching us principles and all this sort of stuff, why would he suddenly say, well, the kingdom of heaven actually belongs to these kids? You've got to be kidding. What have kids got that we haven't got as adults? What do we miss along the way? Well, he can see things in kids that we can't. What makes kids better than us? Well, I start thinking, what makes kids better than us? Have you thought about that? Okay, it's not going to be cleanliness. Because, you know, as adults, we kind of cringe at some of the things kids do. I mean, they eat worms. They poop their pants and they kind of smother their faces in food when they're trying to eat. And that doesn't turn us on. In fact, for a long time, I believe that children didn't actually take food in via their mouth. They took it in via their skin pores, because that's how it kind of went. So it can't be cleanliness. They're weaker than us. They're smaller than us. It can't be anything physical. Maybe it's mental. But then we know that, you know, as adults, we've learned, we've got experience on our side. We understand higher principles. We have a greater vocabulary. You know stuff as adults that kids don't. I mean, don't think kids know more than we do. Would you let a 7-year-old surgeon operate on you? I wouldn't. But, you know, kids are superior to adults in their purity and in their faith. Did you know that? They're better than we are. They really are. Mark 10 says this, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter into it." Jesus getting back again. You've got to be like a child. So let's look through the eyes of a child, try and figure out how they see that's different to us, and maybe we can learn something, adults, from these kids at the front here. So the first thing is, kids are a clean slate. Children are a clean slate. They are pure and innocent, and they come without a past. They come without the hang-ups and the negative perceptions that our past actions and experiences and sins leave us with. They're a clean slate, ready to be written on by the master's hand or by anybody else who comes along. That's why kids can be so easily influenced. Now, as an adult, have a look at your life. Do you carry baggage? Yes, you do. I bet you do. I do as well. And this colours how we see our present and our future, because we're dragging all this stuff from our past along. You see, God realises that coming to Him when you're already negatized by some of the past sin and things you're ashamed of, maybe a failed relationship or a marriage or a business or anything else, that affects how you trust Him right now. Your past limits your present and future. So we have to make, you know, today, adults, we have to make the past at last. It's time to get rid of that stuff so we can move on with the faith of a child. In fact, the Lord is so concerned about this. In Isaiah 43, He says this, "Do not remember the former things, says the Lord. See, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it now? It springs forth. I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wilderness. But often as adults, we hang on to the past, or it hangs on to us. You won't find streams in the desert. You won't find God's way, and you won't find true peace if you hang on to the failures of the past. It's time for us to let them go. Maybe it's time to learn from a child, because a child hasn't got a past to hang on to. They're a clean slate. Maybe it's time to learn from a child's movie. It's time to let it go. Today maybe is the day you've got to let it go. The second thing is, children want to please their parents. How many of you know that a child loves to please their parents? Do you know that? Absolutely. Well, no, mostly. Now, they may be disobedient at times, but I think every child longs for their parents' approval. And most kids will do whatever it takes to get mum and dad proud of them. Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8. We would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. So have a look at yourself, adults. Do you aim to please your Heavenly Father? Is he pleased with everything you say and do? Do you live to please him? Or are you out to please yourself? We need to be more childlike. We need to say, I want to please my Heavenly Father. The third thing is, children are trusting. How many of you know kids are trusting? They really are. I remember my kids jumping into my arms from great heights and me having to catch them. But they had no thought at all that I would drop them. They didn't think they'd be injured. They were jumping into daddy's arms. And it really pleases me as a father when my girls trust me. Does it please you as a parent? When your girls trust, or your sons or daughters trust you? Psalm 20 verse 7 says this, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. And I reckon that blesses the Lord's heart. You know, kids, these kids down the front, they're not sitting around worried about what the Aussie dollar's doing. They don't care about the housing market. They don't even care about Bitcoin. They have no fear of anything or anyone, even strangers. Now, our middle daughter, Kira, she was fantastic. She was so friendly. And we keep trying to tell her, stranger danger, don't talk to strangers. One day, we couldn't find her. There she was, sitting with some guy on a park bench, talking to her. We didn't know who he was. We were terrified. We went up to him. We said, Kira, you shouldn't talk to strangers. And she said, he's not a stranger. His name's Jeff. You see, kids are so trusting. I believe we need to relearn the whole concept of trust as we once had it as kids. We need to trust that trust people around us and trust the Lord. Because our trust as adults, we have been let down by people, and life's experience has robbed us of our ability to trust. But when you come to Christ, you can trust him absolutely. We mustn't trust chariots or horses, governments or social groups, stock markets or business or anything else. We need to totally trust the Lord. Is that right? And children do that wonderfully. The fourth thing is that children see wonder and have hope. Everything for a child is wonderful, isn't it? You know, they think, I love taking kids out and showing them something amazing. They're just, wow. That's so incredible. Something that we kind of go, yeah, whatever. They go, wow, that's amazing. We took Kaylee out. Raymond and I were down the beach. We took her out to the beach, and we sat in some little rock pools, and every shell, every little crawly thing was amazing. Oh, wow. Every wave was incredible until one cleaned her up. Wasn't quite as incredible then. But everything was just wow and fresh and amazing. You see, we see a sunset, but kids see an explosion of colour. We see a shopping centre, and kids see 101 things they can do or discover. You know, we see ourselves as tired and broken and soiled and weary. But when kids see us, when our kids see us, they see us as superheroes. They see us as awesome and amazing and trustworthy. How many kids reckon their dad can fix anything? My children would not put their hands up to that, just saying. If you said how many kids reckon their dad can play and sing anything, their hand would go up, but not fix. I have a deal with Fiona. I'm not allowed to touch tools. because it's too destructive. I mentioned this, but there was a time in my life I wanted to save money and do stuff myself. Is anybody here like that? You know, and I went to the computer store and I bought ink for my inkjet, and it had a little kind of syringe thing. And I thought, you'll put it in. And so I went in the bathroom and I put the syringe in and I went, and it kind of wouldn't go. And I forced it, and suddenly there was an explosion and there was ink everywhere. When we sold the house, we were still cleaning ink off the walls, you know, years later. That's my ability, but most kids believe their dad can fix anything. So we live in a world, frankly, as adults, where hope is lost, isn't it? There's so much hopelessness out there. It's been systematically destroyed by the knocks and the suffering and the pain, all the stuff that we go through as adults, all the pressure, the sickness, you know, relationship breakups, sin, disappointments. You lose hope, but the Bible says this. Romans 15:13 says this, may the God of all hope, the God of all hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Do you as an adult abound in hope? Because if you don't, have a look at a child. They're hopeful about everything. They see the best in everything. Becoming childlike restores our hope and causes us to see good and joy and wonder around us when everybody else is miserable. The fifth thing is, children are teachable. Now, I know you parents don't believe me. Sometimes they're not teachable, but mostly they're teachable. Children are ready to learn, totally receptive. I was listening to my radio the other day, and I heard a song by Crosby, Stills and Nash. Who remembers them? And it says, teach your children well. Who knows that song? You know that song? Teach your children well. Da, 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 da. Great song. The last verse says, teach your parents well. And the kids are now teaching the parents. It's a really cool little song. Proverbs 22:6 says this, train up a child in the way he should go, and he will never depart from it. So how many of you know that every time little kids are around, they pick up stuff? They are so teachable, you don't even have to teach them. They just watch you and they pick stuff up that they shouldn't. How many of you know that? How many of you have sort of, you see, as adults, we come before the Lord with we should come before the Lord with the same eagerness to learn, have that teachable spirit. Many prayers that I hear, it sounds like we're trying to teach God, not letting him teach us. It sounds like we're trying to bend him to our will, not letting him bend us to his. Psalm 143 says this, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. Teach me to do your will. Do you pray that, adults? Because you should. Becoming childlike and teachable helps you make increasingly godly decisions. It's really important. You know, I remember the story one time I heard of a mother who could hear the kids screaming at one another. How many of you know that? They were screaming and cussing and carrying on, and the mother went out there and said, kids, what are you fighting about? And they said, we're not fighting, we're playing mummies and daddies. You know, they pick a lot of stuff up. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1 says, Paul writes, be imitators of me as I am of Christ, and kids will imitate you. So maybe we should imitate Christ, because that's a great way to learn. Six, and finally, children are full of potential. How many of you know when you see a child, there's incredible potential there? It's amazing. You look at, a child could be anything, couldn't they? They could be a fireman. They could be a surgeon. They could be a garbologist. I don't know. You know, they could be anything at all. As you become an adult, you tend to box yourself in. You listen to what other people say and think about you, and you limit yourself, and you limit what you believe you can do. As an adult, you're conditioned all the time by society and by people around you, maybe even in your own family. You're conditioned to believe that you're not to dream big. You're just to toe the party line. You know, as adults, they say, don't reach for greatness. Reach for the TV remote and just stay where you are. That's what they say. But God says this, Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. That's what the Lord has. He has plans for you. When you come to Christ, he sees your true potential and has plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to plans to give you hope and to make your wildest dreams come true. How many of you here know that when you trust God, dreams come true? I do. I do, and not always the way I figure it out. But with our history and our hang-ups and our hopelessness, it's impossible to reach our full potential unless we come to Christ as a little child. When you come to him as a little child, that potential he sees in your life, he can take it, he can mold it, he can use it. I want to introduce you to the master potter. You see, children are like clay in a potter's hands. They're unformed, they're untainted, they're full of potential. They can become anything. A potter can look at a piece of clay and say, well, I can make that into a bowl or a cup or a vase or something like that. When we become childlike, when we place ourselves into the skillful hands of the Lord, he can take us and mold us and create something incredible. Isaiah 64 says this, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, you are our potter. We are all the work of your hands." Have you placed your clay into his hands yet? When you come to Christ, you are born again. Now, if you are truly born again, then what happens is you become like a child. The whole slate is wiped clean. All of those past, all of those difficulties you've had, it's wiped away. You can start afresh. That's what it's like when you come to the Lord. But even more than that, you can come with the eyes of faith, with the eyes of a child. You're a blank slate. It's time to leave the past behind and give your heart like clay to the master potter and say, here's my life, Lord. You do with it what you want. But, you know, we sit here and we go, hey, we're adults. Come on, you know. We're adults. We like to control things. How many of you like to control your own life? All of us. Let's be honest, all of us. We can't let go and let God. We just don't seem to be able to do it. We want to tell him what to do, because we think we have a better idea of what to do. So we go around telling God what he should do for us. Yet his life is that he promises his life and life to the full, life beyond anything we can imagine. If you would only trust him and take your hands off, then he would lead you and guide your life. Let me finish with this story from Amy Carmichael, the famous missionary to India, to the children of India. She visited a potter just like this, an Indian potter, just like this fella here. She tried to make a pot herself. Have you ever tried to make a pot? I tried to make a pot one time and it looked like a saucer. It's not as easy as it looks. She tried to make a pot and failed. But then I want to read exactly what she wrote about this experience. Have a listen to this. The potter said, "Sit down, you can make a pot." "That I cannot do," she said, "as you see by what I've already attempted." He replied, "Sit down," he insisted. So I did so. Then sitting behind me, he put his arms over my arms, his hands over mine, his fingers over my fingers. The wheel began to spin. He said, "Do not allow your fingers to resist mine." He advised and I obeyed. There under my fingers, to my astonishment, grew a beautiful vessel. The wheel stopped and my friend said, "Behold your pot." "That's not mine," I said. "You made it." But he replied, "Look at your hands. There's clay on your fingers." So they touched the clay, for there's nothing on my fingers. Whoever's hand touches the pot, his hand makes the pot. And he said this to me and smiled. Isn't it so incredible? What a beautiful picture. And I believe that we can make choices in our lives. We can resist the hands that are upon our hands, or we can go with those and let him lead us and guide us. As children are shaped and molded by their parents, so we must be shaped and molded by our Father. Matthew 18 says, calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them. This is Jesus. And he said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of God. Whoever humbles himself like this child will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Today, I believe the Lord is calling you to greatness. You and you alone are responsible for what happens in your life, because destiny is not what happens to you from the outside. Destiny is the sum of the choices you make. If you make bad choices, you'll have a bad destiny. If you make good choices, you'll have an incredible destiny. The choice is yours. Life, death, blessings and cursings. Now choose life. But when you choose life, you can place your heart onto that wheel and let Your father put his arms around yours, his hands around yours, his fingers around yours, and creates something amazing, something beyond your comprehension, because we are clay in the hands of a master potter. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are here in the midst with us. Lord, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is here. And Lord, we thank you for the faith and the lives of these young children we saw here today that blessed us so much with their songs and their dance and their words. Lord, I thank you for their serving heart. And Father, I pray that you would speak to us in these next few moments, that we might come to you and place our clay in your hands to be used by you. If you've never asked Jesus into your life, you haven't even started down that road yet. But I want to give you that opportunity to ask Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior right now. I don't care if you're an adult. I don't care if you're a child. If you've never asked Jesus into your life, this is the moment to do it. This is the time to do it. To say to him, Lord, I want you to take and mold me with the faith of a child. So if you've never asked Jesus into your life, I'm going to say a prayer. I want you to repeat it after me. And we're going to believe that God will come into your life and empower you like that clean slate to write something beautiful on, like that piece of clay to make something beautiful of. Just say these words after me. If you've never asked Jesus into your life, say these words. Dear Lord Jesus, right now, I confess my sin to you and ask you to forgive me. And right now, Lord Jesus, I ask you into my life as my Lord and my Savior. Take me and mold me, I pray, and lead me into the incredible future you have for me. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, I'm just going to ask you to shoot your arm up and put it down. I don't care if you're an adult or a child. If you prayed it for the first time, just shoot your arm up and put it down just very quickly. We'll just wait a few minutes here. So the Lord is speaking to hearts here. Now let me speak to believers. The Lord has a plan and a hope for your future. We say it often, but we don't often think of his hands on our hands, his fingers on our fingers, creating a masterpiece. But some of us here resist that. Some of us here say, no, I'm going to tell you how to do it, Lord. I'm going to show you where we're going. It's time for you to stop resisting. It's time for you to let the past be past at last, to let it go and get your heart right with the Lord. So I want to lead you in a prayer. A prayer of recommitment, a prayer of opening up, a prayer of trust like a child. Say these words after me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I know that I've tried to take control of my life. But right now, Lord, I release control. I place my life into your hands. And I ask you to mold me and shape me into the person you want me to be. I make the past past at last. And I look to the future with you molding my life.